Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 16, and verses 41 through 50. It says, "But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, 'Ye have killed the people of the Lord.' And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, 'Get ye up from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment.' And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, 'Take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly and unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord, and the plague is begun.' And Aaron took Moses, and Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,000 and 700, beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you've allowed us to come tonight. We come to the throne of grace, first of all. We pray for your blessings upon what we do. Just give me the words to say. Just guide and direct me. Forgive me my sins and enable me to preach. We just ask as we preach that your word would go out, that not only those that are watching this live, but perhaps those that would watch it at a later date would hear your word and they would look to you. They would look to the Savior and that they would be saved. We understand that there are some serious things going on in the world right now, but there's been something even more serious going on since the days of Eden. We just ask that you would help us to realize that. Help us to realize no matter what we suffer here on earth is nothing compared to the suffering that one will experience in hell. Cause them to open their eyes, open their ears, open their hearts, that they might see and hear and understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us to take this picture that you have given us in the Old Testament, that we would show Christ to others. Just use me at this time for your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Preaching tonight, the high priest and the plague. The high priest and the plague. Now, I mentioned this in my prayer, that there's something, you know, everybody's mind is on this virus that's going around. You can't turn on the TV without hearing about it, and my notes just blew completely away. You can't turn on the TV without hearing about it. You can't have a conversation, it seems, without someone bringing it up. It is constantly at the forefront. And yet there's been a more serious problem. There's been a problem that's been around since man first sinned in the Garden of Eden. There's a problem that we cannot escape on our own. There's a problem that we, for some reason, many people have ignored. For some people, many people have even laughed about. A more serious problem than this virus is going around is a great plague, and that plague is death. Death came into this world because of sin. And sin is a plague upon us. And it's causing more people to die. As a matter of fact, I like what Adrian Rogers said. So there's a statistic out that 100% of all people will die. Now, they're debating how many people, what the percentage is that people will die of this virus, and people are blowing it off. Well, only a small percentage of people are going to die from this virus. And, you know, if it's your loved one, I think you're not going to think that that's such a light matter. But in any event, 100% of all people will die, and that is because of sin. And unless the Lord tarries his coming, unless the Lord takes us out in the rapture, every single one of us will die a physical death. And yet we go unconcerned. Now, with this virus, many people are taking it with various degrees of seriousness. Some are taking it very, very seriously, maybe even too seriously, and some act like it's no problem at all. In any event, that's the way people treat sin as well. Sin is a problem. Sin is a major problem. Sin has destroyed lives. Sin has caused men and women to go to hell. Sin is... do you think God's laughing about sin? God takes it very seriously. His people should take it seriously as well. We don't seem to have the conviction to get out there and warn people. The other day, I had had a patient that was suspected perhaps they had COVID. They had maybe some indications that they had COVID. So we had to bring this patient over, and as I've had to do many times, dress up in isolation gear and put on a gown and a mask and a hat and foot covers, and had to have a glass shield over my eyes, had to have the gloves on, and took the patient in the room and put them in the position to have their CAT scan, and another guy sat at the controls so I wouldn't touch the controls, and he worked the controls. And when that was all done and we took the patient back to the emergency room, and I was cleaning the room afterwards, and I was late getting off, and my wife was waiting for me to get off of work. She came over to look for me. She was needed to get into the car, and she had walked out, and it was raining, and she had got wet, and she came over to get the car keys, and she walked in, and there I was, all gowned out, up, and I was standing there. And as she started to approach, I warned her not to come in that room. Now, I don't think the risk was all that great. But yet, I had enough concern to warn her not to come into that room. Yet, we don't warn anybody about the wages of sin. The risk is great. As a matter of fact, I don't even know if we can call it a risk, because we know it is 100% that the wages of sin is death. We know that those that die without Christ are condemned to hell. Now give me just a second while I grab these notes. Feel free to talk amongst yourselves. So I'd like to preach tonight on the high priest and the plague. The high priest and the plague. Here we had, and the situation was, early on in the chapter, this man named Korah and his sons decided, well, why should we follow Moses? We're children of Abraham just like him. We have just the same right to be in charge. It was Moses that God used to lead them out of Israel. They didn't have any complaint about that. Once they got out, they started complaining. But they said, why should Moses be in charge? Why should he be the one to lead us? And why should Aaron be the priest? And they were attacking God's chosen man. There was the man that God had set up. He had caused him, spared his life. When Pharaoh had condemned all the infants, he had allowed him to be raised in the the palace there of Pharaoh. He preserved him when he was in the wilderness, hiding for 40 years, and brought him back to speak for the children of Israel. He was God's appointed man. He was the man by which God used to bring the law to Israel and commanded them to follow his commandments for their own good. And here Korah had rejected, and he had many followers that rejected Moses, and they stood before Moses, and they said, and Moses said, well, let's let God decide who he wants. And the earth opened up and swallowed Korah and his sons alive and brought them down. And there were people standing around, and as they ran to flee, God consumed them with fire. But yet, even in spite of that, the very next day, these people of Israel stood and came to Moses again. And they accused Moses of killing the Lord's people. Accused Moses of Korah's death. We see in this chapter, when we get to our reading, we see an angry God. I don't know why people were not more concerned with the anger of God. The Bible says that God is a consuming fire. And yet people they don't have a constant concern of offending God. As a matter of fact, if you turn on a TV, if you watch movies, if you listen to music, all you hear is people blaspheming the God that created them, the God that will someday judge them. God was angry. God is always angry with sin. God is angry at sinners every day, the scriptures tell us. And these people, in spite of the fact that they had seen what God can and would do, and that was just a little bit of God's power that he showed them when he swallowed up the people and he consumed the people with fire. Romans 1:8 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. God is not happy. Now, God used this time, and the ironic thing was, this was not the first episode. If you go back, I believe it's to Numbers 11, they started complaining about eating the manna. And God gave them meat to eat. And it says, while it was in their mouths and while they were still chewing, God sent a plague upon them. God has given us warnings. God has spoken many times. And yet the people will not hear. God is angry with sins. The nations that forget God, the scriptures say, will be turned into hell. The plague is sin and the punishment is death. As we often quote Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We often mention how death came by sin into this world. They were given time to repent. The very first thing we read was says, but on the morrow. That means they had seen what had happened to Korah. They had seen what had happened to some of the followers of Korah. They had seen what had happened in Egypt. They had seen what had happened when they complained about the manna. They had seen God's wrath come down, and they had time to think about it. They had time to repent overnight. It says, but in the morrow they came out. In the morrow they came out and they made their complaint. In the morrow they rebelled against God. God has given the people of this earth time to repent. God has given this nation time to repent. We think about the cataclysmic events that have happened just here in this is not the first plague that has taken this nation. This is, and people are trying to give assurance in that fact that, oh, this isn't the first time it's happened, and we survived before. I think our only assurance is trusting the Lord. Because that, whether we live or whether we die, we are God's people if we've trusted in Him. But God has given us time to repent. When they told us this was coming, they had a little bit of warning that this was coming. It had happened out in the east, and they had watched it travel in this direction. They told everybody, you need to wash your hands. You need to wash your hands. As a matter of fact, the Bible told, God told His people back in the Old Testament, wash your hands. He told them not to eat bats as well. Now, people would say, well, it wasn't because people ate bats, as previously reported. In any event, God had warned us that we will wash our hands, but not our hearts. We will clean up our hands, but we won't clean up our lives. The plague is upon us. Death is upon us. Sin is upon us. But we will not, we refuse to clean our hearts. We refuse the washing of regeneration, the Word of God is the water that washes our hearts. Regeneration washes our hearts. The blood of Jesus washes our sins away. And soap and water will not cure or will not prevent death. We see the plague is sin. We see the punishment is death. But we also see the people of God. God had a people even then. God has a people even now. God warned Moses. Verse 45. Verse 45. Yeah. Get ye up from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. See, God has a people. Even in times of His wrath, God has people that are not appointed to His wrath. When we look at the times when the wrath of God has fallen, when we think about Sodom and Gomorrah, we understand that Abraham said to God, will you destroy a nation? Will you destroy these cities if there are 50 righteous people? And he got down to just... out of all the thousands of people, perhaps millions of people that lived in that city, there were not 10 righteous people found, but the ones that were righteous, Lot and his family, and specifically Lot. You know, I think that perhaps the others that obviously his wife made it out, but she didn't last long. His daughters didn't seem to be righteous in their actions, but I think that God had grace upon them and gave them grace in this life because of Lot. Whether they were saved or eventually saved, the Bible doesn't say. But in any event, God would not rain down His wrath upon Sodom until Lot was out. God, during the plagues, protected His children there in Israel. God told them to get out of the congregation, to escape, to flee the congregation, to separate themselves, because He was withholding His wrath until His people were out. Now, people say, you know, they don't believe in the rapture, that they believe that the Lord's people will live through the rapture. God has always removed His people before His wrath came down. We were not appointed under wrath, the Scriptures tell us. So in spite of the anger of God and the plague and the punishment and all that went on, God protected His people. We see an angry God. We see an anointed one. Now, usually when we think of Israel at that time, we think of Moses. And we can see many times in the Scriptures, we can see where Moses was a good representative of Christ. And we can see pictures. But in this event here, I believe that anointed one, I believe that Christ is represented in Aaron, his brother. Now remember, Moses represented the law. When they talk about the books of Moses, when they talk about the writings of Moses in the New Testament, Moses always represented the law. Now the law condemns us. Under the law, the people were condemned. Under the law, because they had rejected God, because they had rejected His word, His plan, His man, they rejected everything of God, they were worthy of death. Moses represented the law, but Aaron represented grace. You see, he was the high priest. Jesus is our high priest. It was Aaron that called upon God to give grace to the people. It was Aaron that made the atonement for the sins of the people. It was Aaron that offered up the sacrifices. We see the anointed one. In Christ, or in Aaron, we see Christ. Now, what happened when the plague started and the people started dying and the people started falling? Moses cried to Aaron. He said to Aaron in verse 46, "Take the censer and put fire therein from off the altar and put on incense and go quickly unto the congregation and make an atonement for them, for the wrath is gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun." God's wrath has been upon this planet, has been tempered by His grace, has been tempered by His patience, but God's wrath has been upon this planet. God's wrath has been upon this race, the human race, ever since sin has come into this world. Why didn't Moses do it himself? Moses was God's man. God had if I can use this term and without you misunderstanding what I'm trying to say, but had a closer relationship, it seemed, with Moses than Aaron. Aaron was the one who sinned in making the golden calf. Not that Moses was without sin, but Aaron was the one that God chose to be the high priest. Moses could not, according to the law, go in and take the fire and take the incense and do what was required. There was only one person who could do what was required there in the congregation. Christ is the only one who can make intercession for us. Christ is the only one that could do what was necessary to save us. Only Aaron could take the fire and put on the incense. Now, when you read of incense in the Bible, it represents, you know, as the smoke of the incense goes up, the reason why they did that, and we see this in the book of Revelation, it represents the prayers going up to God. Only Aaron was qualified to do that. And why was he qualified? Because God had appointed him. God had anointed him to that position. Only Aaron could make the atonement. Once again, only Christ could make the atonement for our sins. We see an anointed one, but we see an appointed way as well. The Jews thought, many of them, and even in Christ's day, even perhaps today, there is a feeling that because God had spoken to Abraham, their father, because of their nationality, because of their race, that they were God's people, and that they would automatically be saved. But there was no salvation in their nationality. As a matter of fact, everyone that fell there were Jews that day. God had a special people picked out, and we understand that this congregation, only the children were around to see the promised land. There was no salvation in their nationality. There was no salvation in the fact that they were Jews. There was no salvation in their religion. They had their religion. God had given them their religion, and God spoke to Moses and told them exactly how He wanted to them to practice their religion. Their religion, just as our religion, is not our salvation. We are not saved by religion. Their religion pointed them to Christ. All the things that were represented in their religion were pictures of the one who would come. They were pictures of what Christ would do. He was the Passover lamb. He was the sacrifice. He was the scapegoat. We could go on and on. He was the tabernacle in the temple. He still is, as a matter of fact. Their religion was only given to them to point them to Christ. If we're just performing empty rituals, they do us no good. The reason why we do what we do is to point out Christ. When we take the Lord's Supper, He obviously said, take it. Take it that you might represent, you might think about My body that was broken. You might think about my blood that was shed for the remission, for the ransom of many. When we gather together and practice that which is religion, it is to point us and to remind us to Christ. They were not saved by their religion. There was only one accepted one. Aaron was the only one who was accepted. He was the only one who could enter in to the temple and to approach the altar and to take the fire. There had to be an accepted one. There had to be an acceptable fire. There had to be an accepted altar. It was all God's way. And there is only one way to heaven. Jesus said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." It is only by the blood of Christ that we can be forgiven of our sins. There is an appointed way. There is an atoning advocate. Moses as Moses commanded, Christ Himself was obedient unto the law. Moses told Aaron what to do. Aaron, according to the law, followed what Moses said. That he was the one who had to do it. Christ was obedient unto the law. Christ didn't abolish the law. Christ fulfilled the law. What does the scripture say here? You know, rather than coming up with a catchy outline, I decided we would just take this verse here. It says that Aaron, as Moses commanded, in other words, he followed Moses, who represented the law, he ran into the midst of the congregation. Christ came into our midst. His name, Emmanuel, means God with us. Now understand, in the congregation, that's where the plague was. That's where the death was. Aaron had to come among them that he might stay the plague. Christ came among us that He might stand between the living and the dead. And by the way, if you are a follower of Christ, if you are a Christian, it is your job today, because we are priests, to stand between the living and the dead, to make intercession for them, to pray for the lost, to lead them to Christ. We are to stand in the gap. We are to stand, we are to contend for the faith once delivered unto saints. He ran into the congregation. Christ came among His people. that he might stay the plague. The plague was begun among the people. Christ said he didn't come into the world to condemn it. The world was already condemned. Christ, the plague was already here. Sin was already here. The condemnation is that men love darkness rather than light. Although that they had seen what God had done through Moses, men were wanting to accept this man Korah and his sons rather than God, the man that God had put in charge. He put on the incense. We already said that incense represents our prayers. Christ prayed for his people. Matter of fact, he said in the book of John, he said, I don't pray for the world. I pray for the ones that you've given me, Father. That incense speaks of the intercession that Christ made. He prayed for us while we were here. And he is sitting next to the Father right now making intercession for us. It says, and he made an atonement for the people. The atoning act of Christ was that he died for our sins. He offered up himself, put himself in the midst of us that he might die for us. The Word became flesh, that the Word would be fulfilled and the flesh would die. He made an atonement for the people. Then it says he stood between the living and the dead. A lot of great sermons were written on that thought alone, standing between the living and the dead. That's what Aaron did. That's what Christ did. And that's what we're called to do today. And finally, we see an acceptable reconciliation. Twice there in our text, it says the plague was stayed. God accepted what Aaron did. God accepted what Christ did. Christ, when he performed the atoning work, God accepted it. God raised him from the dead. And because Christ overcame death, death no longer has dominion over us. Because Christ died for our sins, sin no longer has dominion over us. Christ died. There is a plague going on. There is only one atonement. There is only one way of salvation. One had to step up and stand and make intercession. Stand between the living and the dead. Hopefully tonight we have brought out what Aaron did. And that you've seen Christ in that. And hopefully understanding that, you will trust Him as your Lord and as your Savior. Not just as your Savior, but as your Lord and as your Savior. That means that you're willing to follow Him. You're willing to do whatever He asks you to do. Would you do that? God bless you.